Great. Good morning, everyone. Before I begin, I would like to thank APHA for giving me this opportunity to present with you some of our preliminary data, and also to thank you for being here so early in the morning. Additionally, let's see, do I click? Okay, I would also like to acknowledge some of the authors. Unfortunately, Dr. Matt RPI wasn't able to make it, so I am here on his behalf. And I just want to give a brief background. In our previous study, we have shown that smokers' homes, the dust, the surface, and the air in their homes were contaminated with tobacco smoke pollutants. And although smoking bans that they applied in the home diminished some of these tobacco smoke pollutants, it did not completely eliminate the TSP in their home. And this is particularly important because household dust and surfaces can be important sources of exposure for infants and children, particularly through crawling and hand-to-mouth activity, some pica behavior, and especially if they're playing on the floor. So in this study, we sought to determine the tobacco smoke pollution of homes currently occupied by smokers, whether children living in these homes were exposed to TSP from contaminated air, dust, and surfaces, and whether homes remained contaminated after smokers move out, and lastly, whether non-smokers who moved into these homes were exposed to residual TSP through contaminated home environments. Okay, the data collection were divided into two parts. In part one, research staff conducted interviews of the current residents and collected environmental and biological samples. That's within 1 month of their targeted moving out date. And then in the second part, part two, we collected the same type of data from the new residents. So again, the same type of questions were asked and the same type of environmental and biological samples were also collected from the residents who moved into these part one homes. We recruited participants from advertisements, flyers, referrals, emails through San Diego State University, and also we sent out mailers. For families to be eligible to participate in part one, at least one member should be an adult who speaks English, and the family should have lived inside of the home for at least 6 months with a target moving date of 1 month prior at the time of recruitment. So if they were gonna, if we recruited them in February, at least by the end of March, we would have wanted them to move out. And then smoker residents should have smoked at least 7 cigarettes a week inside of the home, and that is in the last 5 or approximately 5 out of the 6 months they were living there. As for the non-smoking residents, they could not have smoked any cigarettes at all in the last 6 months, and if they had any visitors, the visitors could not smoke inside or outside of their homes during the visit. So this is just for part one participants. For the part two participants, we wanted just all non-smoking residents, and they could be English or Spanish speaking, and they had to be adults. And again, for both the residents and the visitors, they couldn't smoke inside or outside of the home in order for them to be qualified. The research staff basically conducted in-person interviews in the homes, and they asked questions about smoking behavior, about children's TSP exposure, the smoking policies, cleaning, and children's activity patterns. They also conducted an environmental survey of the house. The environmental samples that were collected were for nicotine contamination. The air samples were collected with passive air monitors that were placed in the bedroom and the living rooms. The dust samples were collected in the living room and bedroom, and the wipe samples were taken from the living room, the bedroom, and also the participant's index finger. Now, the biological samples were collected for cotinine and for nicotine. We collected urine samples from a child from the part one participants and a child or the youngest resident in part two participants. As for the hair sample, that we collected that for nicotine contamination, and that was only collected in the child of the part one participants. And I just wanted to show you in this slide how we collected the samples. Here you see this is the passive air monitor that we placed, we taped actually on the wall of the living room and the bedroom. Here we have a research assistant vacuuming to collect dust. And this is another research assistant. We used a template so that all of our surface wipes were approximately the same surface area, cover the same surface area. The nicotine and cotinine analyses were conducted using high-performance liquid chromatography, tandem mass spectrometry, and all of the statistical analyses were performed using SPSS and STATA. Okay, now for the good stuff. Okay, in this slide, we describe the home and participant only for the part one characteristics, the residents. So we see here that comparatively speaking, the smoker homes were smaller and had fewer residents than the non-smoker homes. Here at the bottom, you could see that the majority of the participants actually rented their homes with very, very few owning the homes that they lived in. We had a lot of people living in apartments, some are the condos, a few people in military housing, and then again, very small participants actually lived inside houses. As for the smoker homes, approximately half of their residents were smokers, and those residents combined smoked on average about a little over 2 packs of cigarettes a week inside the homes. But fortunately, only about a quarter of those cigarettes, children were exposed to them inside of the home. This slide just shows basically some of the home improvements that occurred after the part one participants left and before the new residents moved in. And generally speaking, you could see that a higher proportion of these smoker homes had home improvements done to them compared to the non-smoker homes. So new floors, they cleaned carpets and curtains, they painted the rooms, and basically just ventilation. So I just want to make sure that you can see this slide. This slide describes the dust nicotine contamination in the living room. So here what we have are the nicotine contamination for both the smoker homes and the non-smoker homes for the part one residents, so the old residents, and the part two residents, the new non-smoker residents. This part of the slide is just an enhancement of the part two residents to emphasize the difference between the nicotine contamination. So as we expected, you know, we found higher levels of nicotine contamination in the smoker homes compared to the non-smoker homes. But what's interesting is that we also found a higher mean level of nicotine contamination in the living room dust when we have non-smokers moving into these former smoker homes. And again, we see the same trend here for the living room, but this time this is for the surface. So we wiped anything with wood, whether it's a bookshelf or a table. Again, we see that, of course, the smoker's home will have a higher level of nicotine contamination compared to a non-smoker. But again, even though you have non-smokers moving into former smokers' residence, you still see a difference in nicotine contamination. I don't want to belittle the point, but again, the same trends. This is a 12-fold difference you could see here in the smaller figure between the nicotine contamination on the finger of our non-smoking participant who moved into a smoker home compared to a non-smoker home. And all of the slides that I've shown you have statistically significant differences between the former smoking homes and the non-smoker homes. Here we show exposure for our children. Again, for the part one residents, it's children, and the part two, it's either children or the youngest residents. We still see a difference in urine cotinine. Unfortunately, due to our small sample size, these data were not significantly statistically significant as opposed to the previous slides. So in conclusion, we have found again, that dust surfaces and air in a smoker's home have residual tobacco smoke pollution, and that the children are exposed to these TSPs. and that even though we've got smokers who move out of the homes, we still were able to detect residual tobacco smoke pollutions and nicotine contamination in their homes weeks, even months after they have moved out. As we saw, the level of contamination in the living room dust and surfaces, comparing the non-smoker to the former smoker homes, there was a higher level of nicotine contamination in the former smokers' homes compared to the non-smokers. And lastly, as indicated by the nicotine contamination on the index finger of the non-smoker who moved into the former smoker's home, it suggests that this is a plausible pathway for exposure to the new non-smoking residents via surface contamination. Just want to acknowledge our funders, and here are some citations, and I just thank you. Are we taking questions now or later?
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Yay.